This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm ready.
And I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
No, and you got a new name.
This is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Good old ready-to-go Weisenberg.
Yeah, that's what they call me.
Yeah, today we're talking about digestive biscuits.
Nothing sounds now, sexier.
Okay, now let's get into this right away, because I think if you grow up in the UK and maybe other parts of the British Commonwealth, but I think especially like England.
Yes.
Like you grow up with these, and so probably it doesn't sound weird at all.
No, I think it just sounds like a name.
Right. Whereas like they're a specialty item in the US and people think digestive biscuits. Why? What does that mean?
Yeah, it sounds.
They always break into that voice for some reason.
It sounds medicinal or like health foody.
Yes.
But thankfully, well, you know, we'll go down, we'll get into where the name comes from, but thankfully these aren't too healthy.
I'm opening some right now.
Okay, so let's go down memory lane.
Okay, so I don't really remember when I first encountered the concept. And we're going to have to talk a lot about whether hobnobs, which are oaten biscuits, constitute digestive biscuits. They're made by the same company. They're the same shape. They serve the same snacking function, but they're a somewhat different biscuit. Anyway, at some point, wife of the show, Lori, and I discovered, or maybe she introduced me to dark chocolate hobnobs, which are a chocolate-covered oaten biscuit.
Oh, my God.
We would get them at this—
I love when you say oaten biscuit.
I know, me too. We would get them at this British store. I think it was part of the Tea and Sympathy Tea House in Greenwich Village. Mm-hmm. And we would go down there and we would get hobnobs and lion bars and other things that you couldn't otherwise get in America. And we felt so fancy. Like our pinkies were out all the way down there on the subway and back.
Have you ever been to Husky Deli in West Seattle? I'm always surprised when I go into Husky Deli for ice cream because I really love their cookies and cream. I think it is the best cookies and cream. We can discuss that on maybe a different episode. But anyway, I'm always surprised to be reminded that it's basically like a British specialty, like dry goods store.
Oh, yeah.
They have.
I haven't been there in ages.
Tons of like British pantry items.
This is so good.
We're so good. Yeah. I'm having trouble not inhaling it.
Right. So I think I sort of like had formed a hierarchy of digestive biscuits and biscuit alikes in my head that like hobnobs were at the top. And then I wasn't sure like digestive biscuits seemed like a poor analog.
Oh,
but no.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Can I go down my memory lane? So, Matthew, Crescent Market, Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I remember.
The carpet. The suit of armor.
The fireplace.
Yes.
Yeah. The free cookies by the coffee carafe by the store office.
Wow.
So I remember exactly where the cookie aisle was in Crescent Market. And
should we be making tea?
If you want to have it. I could go either way, frankly.
All right.
I mean, we could have tea. Whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, so I remember that the cookie aisle in Crescent Market had crackers on the opposite side of the aisle. Okay. And at the end of the cracker aisle, where they had like a whole bunch of different Cars brand crackers.
Right.
There was a shorter, more squat Cars box, and it was a type of cracker called a Wheatalo.
Okay.
Okay, like the word wheat, O-L-O at the end.
That sounds like a brand name from like the 1880s.
It does, doesn't it? So here's the thing. I looked it up online because I remember that there was a particular point at which, so my mom and I both loved Wheat-O-Lo's, and I remember that there was a particular point at which Crescent Market stopped carrying them. From what I'm seeing, they're no longer on the market.
Are they the cracker that wobbles but they don't fall down?
No, what's that?
Weebles.
Oh, okay. Anyway, but they were, yeah, they were bigger than a like this McVitie's digestive you and I have just been eating. But anyway, they were incredible and they were so sweet and they were so like rich, like buttery tasting. Yeah. Oh my God, they were so good. The other day when I was doing some research into digestion biscuits.
The colon, what is it?
I spent a lot of time on the Kars website for the US and on the website of the company that owns Kars in the UK.
And is that McVitie's?
So they also make McVitie's, but we're going to get to this in just a second. It's actually, so McVitie's and Kars in the UK, is owned by the same company. It's called United Biscuits.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's a UK company that was recently acquired by a Turkish snack food conglomerate
called
Yıldız Holding.
But before we get to that, so Nabisco is short for National Biscuit Company. Mm-hmm. Is United Biscuit, is there a shorthand for that, like Ubisco?
I didn't see it. It seems like everything was abbreviated to UB.
Okay.
It seems like a missed opportunity, frankly. Anyway, I then found a thread on like Chowhound or something.
All right.
Where some guy had posted, my wife loves these Kars crackers.
The way you said it, it made it sound like it was Borat posting it.
My wife loves these like Kars whole wheat crackers.
Sure.
Here's what they're like. What are they called?
Okay.
And I was expecting, as I was reading down this thread, that people were going to weigh in and be like, they're called Wheat-O-Lo's. No. What people said is they are Kars whole wheat crackers.
Okay.
But they're flaky and sweet and rich.
Wife of the show, Lori, also suggested that we pick some of these up.
You can only purchase them in like an assortment pack called the Entertainment Collection.
But then, I mean, it gets even worse from there because we could not find the Entertainment Collection.
Matthew and I separately went to three different grocery stores.
We went all over town and there was no entertainment to be found.
There was no Entertainment Collection.
Right.
So anyway, we'll get to this later, but I wound up looking up a recipe online. Stella Parks of Brave Tart has a recipe for her like a copycat version of a Kars whole wheat cracker. And I made it for us.
Okay.
I got to say, it's not a digestive. So I think that the part of my
ooh,
brain,
but they're cute.
The part of my brain that was like, ooh, this is going to be just like a Wheat-O-Lo. Like, no, it's not.
Now, I have no memories of a Wheat-O-Lo, so maybe to me it'll be just as good.
I wonder if any of our listeners remember Wheat-O-Lo's. See, it's just not that great. It's got kind of a weird taste. I feel like I miss the manufactured taste of a store-bought cracker.
It does have kind of a weird taste. The texture is very good.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I think it's got this real weird high-pitched taste.
High-pitched taste.
Like, it's not... Like, the taste really stays up near, like, the top of my mouth. Do you know what I mean?
No, but I'll play along.
It's, like, really sweet and kind of tinny.
It is kind of sweet and tinny.
June loves them.
Mm-hmm.
She ate like three of these before dinner last night.
Well, bring home some of these McVitie's digestives and see what she thinks.
Okay. Anyway, rest in peace, Wheat-O-Lo's. I also remember, so when I was in college, the school that I went to growing up, they started offering language classes when we were in second grade.
Was this the school that we went by in Oklahoma City?
I can't remember.
That was later.
No, I think I drove you. I don't remember if I drove you to my elementary and middle school.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, I started taking French when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time I went to college, I was able
to take... You were like, oh la la.
I was able to take like French literature. Like,
yes.
I wasn't just having to do like language learning. I was able to use the language to read shit.
Oh, I have a story about this.
So anyway, I had this French literature professor who was very, I'm sure... The ladies, and probably the men, and probably people of all genders, loved this man because he was very handsome in this sort of like dandy kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
I am struggling to remember.
He wore like a hat with big feathers, like poofy feathers sticking out of it.
No, but it was just the way he groomed his mustache.
He rode into class
it was
on
like,
a horse.
He had this short hair, but it was slightly like wavy. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what his name was. His first name was Josh. I don't remember what his last name was. But anyway, he was a French literature professor at Stanford. And I remember going in to meet with him in his office about some paper I was writing. And I remember he had a packet of Hit biscuits.
Hit biscuits?
Hit is like another brand of like a really tender, bland, slightly weedy cookie.
But they're not the same as Stick biscuits.
Not the same as Pokey.
Okay.
I remember, like, I always now associate Hit biscuits with that guy.
Okay. But you didn't find any Hit biscuits for today.
I didn't look for them. I think I confuse Hit and Hobnobs, but Hobnobs are
Oaten biscuits. Yes.
Oaten.
Yeah.
Oaten.
If I say that enough, would I be considered a dandy?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Matthew, you had a couple other things you wanted to say down memory lane.
Right. So dark chocolate Hobnobs for us have become a bit of like a dark chocolate whale because—
A dark chocolate whale.
Like a white whale, but not white because they're dark chocolate.
Remind me what that idiom means.
So like in Moby Dick.
I've never read Moby Dick.
Nobody's really
read
it.
Have you actually read it, though?
No.
Like, every now and then I come upon these things, like, you know, interesting, like, essays, and I'm like, God, I haven't read any of these books.
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter.
It does. I think it does.
It absolutely doesn't. You know what? Fine. Most people in the world have never read any of those books, and they are fine. So, yeah, send your comments on that directly to Molly.
Yeah. So, guys, here's what I want to know. Are there classic books that you feel like I'm not going to list off all the classics that I have read. I want you guys to tell me the classics that you feel like I would be a lesser person if I hadn't read.
Okay.
And not in like a intellectually inferior, just like in a richness of soul kind of way.
Whoa. Okay.
Matthew, do you feel that there are books that have like enriched your soul?
Sure. Absolutely. But like,
I don't
mean
they financially?
Oh, I was going to say rich dad, poor dad. but not like books you would find on a literature class syllabus, I don't think.
Okay. No, fair enough. I mean, I think,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the books that have enriched my soul more than any other were the autobiography of Malcolm X, which I guess you would find on a syllabus.
Oh, you would totally find that on a syllabus.
The Death and Life of Great American Cities by Jane Jacobs.
I think you would also find that on a lot of syllabi.
Not on a literature.
No.
The latter, not on a literature syllabus. Certainly on like an architecture or urban planning syllabus.
Yes. Okay.
I was in the middle of talking about something. What was it? The white whale.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, great.
Okay. So back to Moby Dick, which I'm an expert on. So the captain is been, you know, the white whale bit off his leg and he has like a whalebone leg and he like plies the sea on this doomed quest to find the white whale and kill it for what he did to him. Even, you know, it's about revenge, like even if it destroys him.
It sounds like you've read Moby Dick.
No.
Okay.
But so dark chocolate Hobnobs are quite difficult to find in the U.S. I'm sure you can order them online now. I feel nervous about ordering biscuits online that they'll arrive crushed or stale.
So when you think about looking for chocolate Hobnobs, is it that you want to seek revenge on them for something they've done to you? Or is it just that you want to eat them?
No. Well, I mean, I want to eat them because of what they did to me and my family.
And what did they do to you and your family?
It's too painful to talk about, but it involves a boat. And like there was a hole in the boat. We tried to plug the hole with a biscuit, but the biscuit disintegrated.
Did you wind up inside a chocolate Hobnob?
Yeah, I don't think that happens in Moby Dick, but maybe it
why
does.
Why do people always talk about that? Does it happen? It happens
in
the Magic School Bus,
and
probably.
The Magic School Bus and the Bible.
It happens in the Bible?
Right, yeah, like Jonah and the whale.
Oh, God, Matthew, the only part of the Bible I've read is Genesis.
It also happens in the Decembrist song, the Mariner's Revenge song.
Wait, so what happens with Jonah?
He gets swallowed by a whale.
And then what happens?
Not sure.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Our listeners are dying right
now.
That's
the interesting part, right? Like, either, I mean, I think he probably gets out because, like, otherwise it wouldn't be a very interesting story.
Sure.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best-selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on Masterclass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, Masterclass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, mm-hmm. you go to Masterclass. You can learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on Masterclass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to Masterclass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15. I did not find dark chocolate hobnobs for today.
Are hobnobs made by a UK company as well?
They're made by McVitie's.
Ah, okay, great.
I did find milk chocolate hobnobs, which are not as good, but not bad.
Okay.
There's a lot of debate about whether the milk chocolate or dark chocolate hobnobs and digestives are better. People fall into camps.
Well, also, did you know that some digestives do contain oats?
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, according to Wikipedia, and as we know, Wikipedia is always correct about everything. So, well, hold on. Let's talk about what digestives are anyway.
Please, because I think I don't really know.
Okay. Well, so a digestive biscuit, which also sometimes apparently goes by the name sweet meal biscuit.
Never heard that.
Me neither. Anyway, it's a semi-sweet biscuit, aka like a cookie type thing, that originated in Scotland and, of course, is now popular worldwide.
Oh, originated in Scotland.
It did. Yeah, it was first developed in 1839 by two Scottish doctors with the purpose of aiding digestion. So the term digestive comes from the belief that these biscuits had antacid properties because they contained baking soda.
Oh, I've looked something up about this.
Now, hold up. So is everything that I make that contains baking soda digestive then?
I can answer this question.
Okay.
So Lori has this book, wife of the show Lori, has this book called A Nice Cup of Tea and a Sit Down by Nicey and Wifey. It grew out of a blog, I think.
Oh, my God.
And so they talk about this too. And in the book, they say, "This explanation seems a little contrived to me. The baking soda would decompose under the heat of baking to release carbon dioxide, thereby raising the biscuit and making itself ineffectual as a digestive aid."
Obviously.
I mean, this goes back to not that like quack medicine is ever going to be like no longer with us, but like you said this was like the 30s. This was
1830s.
Like the 1830s. Okay, so people knew absolutely nothing
about
medicine.
Were they still using leeches at that point?
I mean, people still use leeches.
That's true. Also, apparently, historically, some makers of digestives have used diastatic malt extract, so like an enzymatic malt extract, to quote-unquote digest some of the starch in the flour before baking.
I think that probably has very little effect.
Well, this reminds me of like the origin story of graham crackers, which also, you know, was sort of like a health guru's idea that was supposedly to like make you healthier and stop masturbation. Or was that cornflakes that were supposed to stop masturbation?
I've heard graham crackers, but I know like the Kellogg's people were mixed up in this also.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Did it work? We've talked about this on the show before.
Anyway, they were first manufactured commercially in 1892. And of course, today, McVitie's is the best-selling brand in the UK.
Oh, I found a stat on that.
Oh, you did? Great.
Yes,
okay.
They as of 2018, according to a Time Out article that we'll link to, they produce 12.5 million digestives per day.
Whoa! That's amazing.
At their factory in London.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. 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 Hobnobs are so good.
They're so... Oh, hold on. Wait, let's okay. Wait. Hold up. According to a 2009... So we get all of our facts at least within the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
According to a 2009 survey...
I mean, not our Moby Dick facts.
...of 3,000 Brits, as reported by The Telegraph, digestives are the fourth most popular biscuit for dunking into tea, with chocolate digestives coming in at number one.
Okay, wait. So does that mean... chocolate digestives are number one and plain are number four? Or
mm-hmm.
does it mean... Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in between.
All right. I'm going to say Nutella flavor or maybe. Nutella, as some people say.
Anyway, typically these are made from like a coarse wheat flour for like a certain distinctive mm-hmm. texture and
yeah,
flavor.
Yeah, that's what's so good about them.
They're not meant to be like... You know when you eat like a shortbread cookie
uh-huh.
or a butter cookie. Like it's meant to have this...
like a sandy texture,
like
kind of?
Like a fine sandy texture.
Right.
Well, I would say that a digestive is obviously not as short as that kind of a cookie. Like it's not as tender and crumbly. But it also has a more like... the crumbs of it are bigger.
Sure. Yeah. So it's more like shortbread is more like beach sand and this is more like lake sand.
I would say this is more like Pacific Northwest... sand
yeah.
compared to like, I don't know, like,
I mean, if you go to the ocean beach in the Pacific Northwest, the sand is pretty fine.
Mm, okay. But like the sand at like, Golden Gardens is kind of, well.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Like most of our listeners definitely are familiar with the texture and like the average
or
grain
like car
size.
Keek.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like
it's like big rough sand.
Like a car keek sand. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm confident that all of our listeners. So speaking of, can we go back to literature for a minute?
Yeah.
Because I had almost the same experience with French literature as you. I started studying French at about the same age. I did not study abroad, but I kept studying French through senior year of high school. And then I got to college and I tested into the French literature class.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there like day one. They're like, here, you're going to read this book by Colette. And you're going to read like,
oh my God, totally.
Like Zola and like, and I'm like, fuck this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was thrilled by it.
No, I tried and I'm like, nope, this isn't happening. So I dropped that class and switched to computer science, I think.
I never read Colette and I can't remember if I read Zola.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of French poetry. I took like these sequences of like French poetry from different centuries. I was really a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, I feel like I'm coming off as like a real anti-intellectual
no,
on
you're
this
not.
Episode, which
well,
is not what I mean.
You just are, like... but you are not an anti-intellectual.
But I couldn't hack French literature at age 18.
But I think even today, like I like books that I think are more like literature than mm-hmm. you would usually
oh, definitely.
Pick up. I'll read some totally insufferable stuff.
Yeah, you will. I've seen it. And then yeah. and then you tell like, this book is so tough. Like I'm 100 pages in and I don't know if I can handle it. And then you'll keep reading and keep telling me how tough it is.
Matthew, I'm still reading that one that we talked
Great.
About. I'm not going to name it. I'm still reading it. I brought it with me in my bag today because I think I might have like an hour to read before I pick June up from school. And I'm like, maybe I can finally finish it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so you're
I can't stop now,
you're
but
a literary
I'm just not
masochist.
Enjoying it.
Uh-huh.
I just...
Do you need someone to give you permission to stop?
No.
Okay.
No, I could give myself permission.
I thought so. Okay.
I tried to talk to another friend about this particular book, and he was like, oh my God, I loved it so much. I can't wait to read it again.
Wow.
Yeah. And then anyway, I'm just ready to be done with it. I am a masochist of books.
A masochist of books.
Okay. Hold on. Can I finish?
Please.
So anyway, typically they've got this coarse wheat flour, okay, sugar, of course, malt extract, vegetable oil, which I guess makes sense for commercial crackers, right?
Yeah.
Our commercial biscuits. And then other whole grains, Wikipedia was not very specific here.
Well, we got the packaging right here.
Oh, what does that say?
Whole wheat flour.
Hold on. Let's look at this. The classic digestive.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think it has other whole grains. It's wheat flour, whole wheat flour. Those are the only grains.
Okay. What about the leavening? So what I saw is that there are usually three types of leavening: baking soda, tartaric acid, and malic acid.
So this one contains malic acid, sodium bicarbonate, and ammonium bicarbonate. I think sodium bicarbonate and ammonium bicarbonate constitute double-acting baking powder. Malic acid, I think, is something different, but I'm not sure.
Well, and it's what you find in an apple.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Malice.
And then, of course,
aforethought.
And then, of course, salt. And sometimes, wait, didn't we just eat one of these? Oh, no, we
no,
just ate a
different
hobnob. Okay. And then sometimes oats, too, according to Wikipedia. I should have read other sources, probably.
You should have read Nicey and Wifey's nice cup of tea and a sit down.
Anyway, so these are usually, of course, eaten with tea or coffee, probably usually tea, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Although they disintegrate really quickly once they are wet. They're also, of course, used as a cracker with cheese. And then in the UK in particular, they're used kind of the way that we sometimes use graham crackers as like a crust.
As a masturbation prevention device.
As like a ground up as a crust for other baked goods, mm-hmm. like cheesecakes or tarts or whatever.
I believe wife of the show, Lori, has done this. She definitely said, don't forget to mention it on the show.
Oh.
These are so great.
I like this much better than that hobnob.
So
I think it's because it was a milk chocolate hobnob.
Like, I don't think the milk chocolate that McVitie's uses has much flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this puts me in a particular camp. Did you just drop it into your shirt?
No, I dropped it first into my lap and then onto the floor.
Mm-hmm. So crumbly.
Okay. You know Bill Bryson.
You know Bill Bryson.
His book, Notes from a Small Island, mm-hmm. which is so funny. He describes in that book the chocolate digestive as a British masterpiece. I would agree because I'm eating one right now.
It's absolutely true. It's a world-class cookie.
Matthew, apparently McVitie's are not only famous for being British masterpieces. Every time I say masterpiece, I think masturbate.
This was actually a cracker that was developed with the intention of convincing people to masturbate more.
Matthew,
that's how they do it on the other side of the pond.
I love that so recently your wife was asking if we could do a podcast that was more Orangette and less Beavis and Butthead. And I have to say, I had never thought of us that way. But today, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we do a podcast that's more Beavis, less Butthead? Cool.
Okay, anyway. So McVitie's are apparently famous among Beatles fans.
Okay.
For causing an argument between George and John during a recording session for Abbey Road.
And John who? Just kidding.
Apparently Yoko was in the studio. I'm on a first name.
Yoko who?
I'm on a first name basis with her. Yoko was in the studio and at one point helped herself to George's box of McVitie's while the band was in another room. And then George was pissed at Yoko and he like blew up at her, which then caused John to lose his temper in response. Boom.
So first of all, like I feel like maybe this argument was about more than just cookies.
Maybe.
Call me crazy. You know, whenever I hear about like the acrimony that suffused the Abbey Road recording sessions. Mm-hmm. Like Abbey Road is, you know, I guess it's silly to say Abbey Road is one of my all-time favorite albums, like duh.
Which songs are on Abbey Road?
So a lot like Something, Come Together. Mm-hmm. My favorite part is the suite of Carry That Weight and Golden Slumbers and the other one.
I've never been a Beatles fan. I only know like what I hear on the radio. Probably outing myself in a way that I shouldn't.
That's fine. I haven't read Moby Dick.
Okay.
You know, we have this romantic idea about music that, like, you know, people's feelings come through in the
yes.
music they play. Mm-hmm. And these guys, like, they you know, were totally fucking sick of each other. They couldn't get along. They were miserable. And they made, like, one of the most perfect, beautiful albums that's ever been made. In that state, like maybe just feelings don't matter.
What do you think was the emotional state of Radiohead recording like OK Computer?
Well, I mean, based on what we know about Abbey Road, I'm going to say they were like super excited about their new smartphones and they thought this is the new smartphones they got in 1997.
And they were like, oh my God, we're going to be fitter and happier and more productive.
And they were.
And they were like, this is really going to boost our karma. Mm-hmm.
They recorded the whole thing at an amusement park.
That's exactly the sound that comes through for me when I listen. Yeah, well, you can hear it in the background. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, if I were going to make... So back to digestives.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little sad now that I made the car-style whole wheat
cracker.
You're
right. They're not very good.
Because they're not very good, and they're also, like, really not very close to digestives, I don't think. So I think if I had to do over again, I would possibly make this King Arthur recipe for digestives, which looks good.
That sounds promising.
Or I have made a recipe. I posted it on the old blog in 2013. For what I called Scottish oat cakes.
Okay.
And those were delicious. They were not nearly as tender as like a commercial digestive.
Right.
But they were delicious. And I think better than
this. Talked enough about the texture of the hobnob. Because it's got this like crumbly, rustic, like varied oaten texture.
That, yes.
Like is unbeatable. It's the Abbey Road of biscuits.
I really wish we had like a straight up chocolate hobnob and not a milk chocolate hobnob, because right now I'm just feeling very pro digestive. But I have to say, Matthew, out of all these things we've tasted, I think my favorite is the plain McVitie's.
It's unbeatable. Like, clearly a perfectly engineered food product,
you
right?
You just said that the hobnob was unbeatable.
I'm so sick of your gotcha journalism. wait, I noticed something really important that we have to share, that the plain digestives are made in the UK by McVitie's, P.O. Box 7249, Ashby de la Zouch, Great Britain.
Let me see this.
Ashby de la Zouch. That's hyphenated. Ashby dash de la.
Zouch.
This is made by De La Soul.
Zouch.
Zouch. Yeah,
Zouch.
I wasn't sure either.
Cooch. Well, it's like the street in Portland that's spelled couch, like a piece of furniture,
cooch.
But you say cooch.
Or like the street in New York that's spelled Houston, but pronounced Houston.
But you pronounce it Houston.
Yeah. So weird. Okay. So listeners in Ashby de la Zouch, please weigh in. I'm going to say we have like a couple hundred listeners there at least.
I hope they all work at the McVitie's factory.
Yeah,
because they're making really good biscuits.
A company town.
God, they're making really good biscuits.
Real good biscuits.
I love that we've just taken to calling them biscuits when the truth is this is basically a cookie.
But I mean biscuit is how you say cookie in England.
Yes, or
right?
Biscuit in France. A biscuit.
Yeah, biscuit. I thought you said the squee. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. You know, God, I'm choking. In my house, we call them the squee. I'm going to have the squee for dessert. Okay. All right.
I don't even get why that's funny, but I love
either.
It.
Okay.
All right. So I guess that's our digestive biscuit episode.
Yeah.
These really make me happy. All the ones we got, except the ones you made, are great.
Do you feel like your digestion is going to be better?
No.
Or that you're going to masturbate less?
No. Okay. Neither.
Okay. Well, mission accomplished.
All right. Oh, right, because these are the biscuits that promote masturbation. I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay, so great. They're doing its job.
Okay, so anyway, we have a number of things that we wanted you to weigh in on our Facebook page.
Most important, how do you pronounce Ashby de la Zouch?
So that's facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
I feel like Ashby de la Zouch is what you get when you like spell Zach de la Roca backwards.
That was good. That was really good. I liked that. Okay. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Uh-huh. Oh, excuse me. I said that wrong. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Sometimes I get confused by the Q-U-I.
Yeah. I don't know if either of us is 100% sure how to say it.
Wait, do you mean to say we've been working with Abby for almost 5 years and we're both a little bit unsure of how to pronounce her last name?
I don't know if she really knows either.
Really?
No.
Oh, God, Abby, I am so sorry. As usual, we are the worst. Anyway, our producer is producer Abby Circatella.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us all the places where you find podcasts. Stitcher, CastBox, cast your fishing line reel in a podcast.
You can find us anywhere you find a white whale. If you find that white whale, let me know, because we need to talk. Me and the whale.
If you live in Seattle or in the Seattle metropolitan area and you know where we can reliably get like regular chocolate hobnobs.
Dark chocolate
hobnobs. Could you hook us up?
Or if you live in the Seattle area and you have some thoughts about which sand most perfectly captures the texture of a plain digestive.
Yeah.
Or like what's the sand like where you are? Weigh in on that. like coarse, medium coarse, like a coarse meal.
White sugar. Anyway, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
The show that's been giving you a freebie since 2010.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Oh, I bit my lip and now it's bleeding.
Oh.
So if I'm talking and blood is running down my tooth, don't be alarmed.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.